If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. Praying to Mary to ask Jesus to bless you is a dead prayer. I'm amazed that people are swallowing all of this junk and they're seeing no fruit, but they keep saying next generation, we'll see fruit. People are dying and generations are going past and still no fruit. You know, people must wake up eventually, I think, hopefully. If you get them praying in tongues, in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit starts cleaning up their field inside them, they're going to start to get a clue. It starts opening their eyes up, and they're going to rebel against the lies and deceptions that some preachers are preaching to them. And then we can maybe get something done. You know, so God's provision in Philippians, he says in chapter 4, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again." That's pretty interesting. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Okay? So, you know, the Bible says, as we have opportunity, it says in Galatians, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good." But, you know, they didn't have the opportunity to help Paul in the beginning. Paul came to their town, preached the gospel free, and he blessed them. And then they started to have opportunity. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherein to be content, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So Paul knew that if there was no one around to help him, he could pray and get the Lord to help him. If nobody was receiving seed to sow into his ministry, he could go to the Lord and the Lord would use something else to bless him. He wasn't confined to their ability to have seed. You know, Paul was trying to teach these people to get out the ditch. He's trying to teach them how to financially get stable. He taught them about this grace. And God blessed them with prosperity. And with the abundant overflow, they were able to bless Paul. He says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding," okay, "ye have well done that ye did communicate with me with my afflictions." He says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions, my weaknesses, my needs. You did well. You asked, 'Do you need anything, Paul? Can we help you?' You blessed us through the ministry of Jesus Christ, for showing us how to sow ourselves out of poverty, and now we're out of the ditch, and now we're financially viable. And now we have opportunity. Can we help you, Paul?" So it says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but only you." So it's an important point. It's when I departed from Macedonia. When he first stepped foot into the Philippi, which is the chief city of Macedonia, he didn't ask them for help. They didn't have any ability to help. They didn't have any opportunity to help. So Paul blessed them He taught them about this sowing and reaping and this grace and this seed that God provides the sower so that they could sow. And they started getting blessed. He showed them how it functioned. Then when he left, they said, "Can we help you?" Nobody else did it, only them. It says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So, you know, the church of Philippi were Paul's chief financial help. All the other churches, they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But the church at Philippi, they understood it. And Paul, he sent his ministers to other churches to teach them this grace that he taught the church of Philippi and how they got out the ditch, how that they were successfully financially, and they were even so financially successful they were able to help Paul because he taught them this thing called this grace. This grace, this free unmerited favor. God wants to give you free unmerited favor. He wants to give you favor. He wants to give you the seed, and he wants you to sow it in the right ground, and he wants to bring 30, 60, or 100 fold to your life. You know, the seed is only one seed, but 100 fold return, that's 100 fold, mate. You've got to understand there's a massive difference. You know, people are hanging on to their crummy one seed, and they're forgetting about the potential that God can do in their life. Whereas a lot of people understand this, but they want you to actually give money out of your own pocket, not the seed that God has sown into your life, not the seed that God has given you, right? Because you haven't even gone through that process. I mean, you're probably broke and in need of someone helping you. And some minister comes to you and says, "Listen, I know you've got nothing, but just go and find whatever you have, and they'll use the poor widow through the one mighty." That's true. But, you know, they'll use these legitimate scriptures to try and get money out of you. It's very sad. Now, the Bible talks about they make merchandise of you. They use you to buy all of their stuff. They use you to sow into their lives so that you'll get a reward, so you'll get something back. You're not going to get much of a reward, much of a reaping. You're going to be sucked in. You're going to be ripped off. Then it says in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 8, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Why? Because they received seed from God. They sowed it into Paul's ministry. And what did Paul say? "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, it's glory unto God. He provides you the seed, then he provides you the harvest. I mean, he provides you everything. But you know, a lot of people eat their seed. They get the seed that God gives them and they sow it into their own lives. And they waste that seed, and it has a potential to be blessed and to give them 100-fold. And they wonder why they're poor all the time. They wonder why they're always in need. They wonder why they're always falling short, because they eat their seed. I mean, how silly is that? A farmer who actually plants a crop, when he harvests that crop, he keeps back seed, okay? And that seed he uses to plant the next year. If he ate all that seed, he's not going to get a harvest next year. You know, and the Bible says that God provides the seed. Okay, he provides the increase. It's very, very, very simple. It's not hard stuff. You know, then it says in 2 Corinthians, then it talks about how this seed operates. Because Paul's talking to a church that were boasting, we're going to give a lot of money to the welfare fund for the church in Jerusalem, because there's going to be a great need. So they said that they would do that. And Paul wrote a letter to them, and he said, listen, I need you, even though you're boasting, I need you to make sure that seed is there, that pledge. And, you know, so he got onto them early so that when the saints turned up for that pledge and the Church of Corinth said, well, we haven't got it, they're going to look foolish. It's going to look really bad for them. So Paul sent this letter to them to help them so that they could actually get that pledge together. And how did they get that pledge together? He taught them about this grace that he actually taught the Church of Philippi, how that they could get the seed from God, and then they were going to use that seed, which is their pledge, to sow it into the saints in Jerusalem. And they were going to receive 30, 60, 100 fold. He also stipulated, don't let people twist your arm, make you feel bad that you need to get that pledge. If you've left yourselves short because of your inability or your lack of understanding, don't let somebody twist your arm and make you feel bad to give money that you don't have. He said, we're going to show you how to operate in this grace, where God will supply your seed so that it won't impact on your finances, and you'll be able to give it and sow it into the church at Jerusalem. How good is God? You know, so a lot of people who don't have this excess because they don't understand this grace are asked by other churches to dig into their own pocket and to cause themselves to go into debt. That's really bad ministry. The idea simply is to teach somebody how to prosper, and then when they prosper, then the overflow from their prosperity, they can actually sow into your life. That's the proper way to teach people about finances. I'll say it again. You teach people to prosper so that through their overflow, they can sow into your life. It's not the other way around. It's not go into debt, put yourself big time out, and then God will bless you. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The way it works is God provides the seed for the sower. You know, when you plant a plant, one seed, you might get a corn that's got 100 seeds on it. Okay, that's one seed, and God adds the increase. He gives you the corn cob, and you take 10 seeds or 5 seeds out of that, and you've got 90 seeds. And then you plant the other 90 seeds, and you get thousands of corn. And then what do? Well, you know, there's only so much seed you can sow, right? So what do? Well, you use that to help the other saints, the ones who are only got one seed. You say to them, here, I'll help you. Here's a whole bunch of corn cobs, and you can feed on that, but don't eat all the corn cobs. Keep some seed back for your own self so that you can plant it in the ground, so that you can actually start getting a 30, 60, or 100 fold. And then when you're successful and you've got an abundance, an overflow, a massive overflow, and you've got more than you can sow into other people's lives, after you've sown into their lives, you've still got an overflow, what do? Give that to the poor. Give it to the saints who are starting out. Give it to the saints who are trying to get things working. Help them. Support them. But you know, first off, you support the ministry that's running the whole thing. You know, you need to be wise about that. That's how it works. So God adds the increase, he provides the seed, and all you have to provide is the integrity not to eat your seed, right, or to give it out and put it in useless ground that's not going to give you any harvest. You know, the law of sowing and reaping operates widely, financially, naturally, spiritually. You sit down and you're praying in tongues. What are you doing? You're sowing into your spiritual life. And then what are you doing? You're actually fulfilling your spiritual life. You're providing for your spiritual life. You're sowing one seed into your spiritual life and you're getting a hundredfold return, because what are you doing? You're actually planting seed that God has authorized by you praying in tongues. And that seed will bring forth a hundredfold in your life. And the abundance of that seed, right, all of the corn harvest that you get, then you can start to minister into other people's lives, because God has given you the seed to sow, so that you can sow into other people's lives spiritual things. And then the abundance of your prayers, right, the overflow of your prayers, where do they go? Do they go into the rubbish bin? No, they go to feed all of the poor saints who are spiritually weak. So you're sowing into other people's lives, and you're also the overflow. You've got abundance of corn. You can't eat all of the spiritual food that's coming down from the Lord, right, for your daily bread. And what happens? God provides that for everybody else. So some poor saint who's having trouble, your prayers will start to bless them. The Holy Spirit will switch your prayers, instead of praying for you and your needs, because they'll be met through the prayers. All the rest of the prayers that you pray, because you're praying for an extended period of time, not just a 5-minute prayer, but you're praying for half an hour, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours a day, whatever, it's up to you. And the overflow of your prayers will go to help all the saints all around the world that you have no knowledge of. But at the end of the day, when you stand before Jesus and all of these saints are standing there, he's going to say, because of your overflow, because of your prayers and your intercessory prayers, these people are standing here before you because your prayers help get them over the mark, help get them over the line, help get them to stay faithful when they were getting pounded by the enemy. Right, I used your prayers to win victory in their lives. That's sowing and reaping at its best. And if you can understand that, you'll be blessed too. If you don't understand any of this, listen to it. Pray in the Holy Spirit and ask God to open your eyes to this thing called this grace, free unmerited favor. Do you know how grace basically works? When you first come along to the Lord and you mess up all the time and you don't quite get everything right, God, through this grace, he lets it slide. Like a child who comes home from a hospital, just being born, the parents let the child and all the things the child does slide. You know, what if the child pulls something off the table and smashes expensive dinnerware? Fine china. What do the mum and dad do? Do they go and put the kid in a home? No. They wear it. And Jesus wore all of our stuff at the cross. He took our sins, all the things that we fired at the target and missed. That's what sins are about. All of our misfires, he's taken and he's wore it on the cross. That grace covers that. That's why we talk about grace, saving grace. Then when you get older and you're no longer a child and you grow up and you're able to actually be responsible for yourself, then you can call upon the same grace which functions in a different way, and it becomes a power source, free, unmerited favor to actually operate in the kingdom of God. So when I'm going down the road and I'm preaching the gospel, without even thinking about it, the free unmerited favor in my life, the grace in my life, is already abounding and organizing people so that when I step into their lives, I have power to flow out of me into them, to transform their life, and to fill their empty warehouses with abundance, so that they can actually feed on the things of God. That's what happens with me. That's what happens with this grace. Is the church have taken this grace, or this grace teaching, and they've dropped it on the ground. It's all covered in dirt, and now they're feeding it to the body of Christ, and it's not fit for human consumption. I mean, they're telling people, doesn't matter what you do, even if you're 20 years in the Lord, and your response, you should be a responsible Christian, you know, you can do whatever you like, don't worry, the grace of God will cover everything. Well, God wants us to grow up. He wants us to be responsible Christians. That's what we're called. We're called disciples, disciplined ones. But, you know, a lot of people are taught, don't worry about it, you don't need to be disciplined. It's called greasy grace. And, you know, people never mature. They never grow into something that God can use them, because they're still little babies. They're not weaned from the breast. For whom shall I teach knowledge and understanding to? It says in Isaiah chapter 28, them that are weaned from the breast, right? It says, for a stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto these people, saying, this is the rest, this is the refreshing, where I might cause the weary to rest. So if you want to study, you'll find it on the page, you know, that he's the page that we use for support our ministry. There's the whole teaching of grace, the whole teaching of prosperity, and in its true form. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. It's very simple. I explain it in 40 different ways. And you should be able to get it. It's pretty simple. Okay? I won't go into the explanation again, because it's you must get it by now. I'm sorry. If you don't get it, then you need to pray a bit more and be patient and let the Holy Spirit unravel all the rubbishy stuff that's been put inside you. And if you read the parable of the sower, you know, that is another situation about your life. It talks about, and he spoke many things unto them in parables. This is in Matthew chapter 13. I spent a year and a half studying the sower and the seed parable in Matthew 13. I spent a year and a half studying that. Not full on, but on and off, on and off, on and off. I printed it out. I read it and read it and read it. I went to the Greek and I broke it down. I prayed over it. You know why? Because in that parable, Jesus says, how come you don't understand this? If you understand this parable, you'll understand all parables. So I figured if I could understand this parable, I would understand all other parables. So I studied it out. And you know what I got out of this parable? That it's about sowing into your life spiritual things. And how do you sow into your life spiritual things? With the Holy Spirit. And how would you sow into your life spiritual things with the Holy Spirit? I figured it's praying in tongues. So I started looking with that understanding, and I read the parable of the sower and the seed with speaking tongues as the answer. And man, oh man, everything came alive to me. I went, this is amazing. It's when you look at something, if you don't look at it at the right angle, at the exact right angle, you can miss it. The idea is to look at something and wait for the Lord to bring you into a place where you see it properly and clearly at its right angle. And then you see it clearly. But that takes praying. You know, when you go to dig up the dirt to find the rocks, what are you doing? You're revealing the hidden rocks. When you're praying in tongues, what are you doing? You're revealing the mysteries of God. You're revealing the ability to be successful. Okay? And what are the thorns? Well, they're the competing doctrines and ideas that strangle the plant, okay, that strangle the word. And what is the dry sun where the, or the hard ground where the seed never even takes root, because there's no ground suitable for the seed to go in. And even before it even gets the opportunity, it actually is taken by the devil. So the idea is to sit down and pray in tongues, get full of God, let him plow up and down your field. He'll find all the little stones in your field that'll stop your roots from going down and getting the water. He'll find all the seeds, all of the competing doctrines, the doctrines of devils, they're going to choke the word inside you, and he'll show them to you, and then you will allow the Holy Spirit to pluck them up. He'll plow up that ground, and then it will be soft, and it will actually be able to take the seed, which is the word of God, and it will flourish in your life. And if you fall asleep at the wheel, if you fall asleep at your watch, and the enemy comes and puts false seed inside of you, then you'll be able to pray over it. You don't want to uproot it while it's there. You'll rip up everything else. It needs to be skillfully taken out by angels, because the Bible talks about the angels coming and gathering up all of the tares and burning them. So you can do that now. I put my hand on my chest and I pray. I put my hand on my chest and I say, in the name of Jesus, I just curse every false doctrine that has been put inside me. Every idea that is not in alignment with the kingdom of God. Every idea and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus. Every stronghold that is trying to take root in my life. Every system of thought. That's what a stronghold is. I command them to be pulled down in the name of Jesus. And I command only the seed of the kingdom of God to grow inside me. So I keep my heart clean from tares. And tares are seeds that look like wheat until they actually start to head. Until they start to show their seed. Until their fruit is there. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. It's no good having an apple tree and another apple tree growing together and one apple tree's false. And the only time you actually figure it out is when the other false apple tree brings forth thorns. Now I ask the Lord to get rid of the tree from the root up. I don't even want an apple tree, a false apple tree in my garden, in my heart. I don't want anything competing with the word of God in my heart. I want 100-fold return. So I plow my heart. I ask the Holy Spirit to search my heart and see if there be anything that is against God inside of my heart. He shows it to me and I speak over it and command it to die. That's good gardening. Okay? So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.